First Thessalonians chapter 2. As we've been preaching through this book, I've been in it for several weeks on Wednesday night, and then now also a few weeks on Sunday morning. Just see what the Bible says. Amen. Out of this great book of the Bible here. And I guess what I'm preaching on today is similar to what I said last week as far as the title goes. I'm going to preach today on proper ministry conduct. Proper ministry conduct. Last week we talked about Paul's manner of work. Kind of along the same lines, we're going to go a little bit further into the chapter here to see what Paul said as he was defending his conduct, is really what he was doing. He was defending his conduct. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's stand together. We're going to read verses 7 through 12 this morning. Verses 7 through 12, 1 Thessalonians 2. Here the Word of God says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." Let's pray. Father, guide and direct us in your word today. Thank you for it. Give us your power, Lord. Speak to us, edify us, teach us some things today to help us, Lord, to be better, to walk more worthy, Lord, of you and your salvation. Help us today, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. Proper ministry conduct. Paul here is actually defending his ministry against critics. He was ran out of town. Church, young churches left. He writes the letter back to them. And now that all the rumors have been circulating about Paul's motives being wrong and Paul's manner being terrible, he writes back and reminds them of exactly how it was with him and his missions team, which is Paul, Silas, and Timothy. So he writes back and he says, no, it wasn't like that at all. It was like this. So he's defending himself against the critics. He's reminding them of how it happened. He's telling them what he did and how he did it. He's talking about what he preached and how he preached it. So to just close the mouths of all of those people. So he let it be known he was bold. He was not timid in what he did. He was not in error. He was just teaching the Word of God. It was not for selfish gain. It was not deceitful. It was not to please men. And that's a lot of what we talked about last week was those points right there. So he reminisced here about his visit with them. He reminisced about how the church got started. He reminisced here about their upstanding character. He's not bragging. He's defending is what he's doing there. He's not bragging. He is defending. Amen. Let's just wait here. No. So, what is he saying? They were cordial, they were loving, yet bold. Very cordial, very kind. They had a strong position, but they did it with a kind disposition. Isn't that Christian? Isn't that proper ministry conduct? Have a strong position. We believe the Bible. That goes against the grain of the world. Have a strong position, but do it with a sweet, kind disposition. Don't you believe that's the way Jesus did this too? I believe that's the way Paul did it. So he's saying here, our conduct was clean, our motives were pure, our faith was genuine, our heart was sincere. It was loving, serving, giving. You know, we mentioned that a lot around here. It was loving, it was serving, it was giving. He said, I gave you not only the gospel of God only, but our own selves. By the way, I looked that up, the phrase, the gospel of God, that's three times in this chapter. It's only, I think, seven times in the New Testament. Three of them are right here. Paul used it six times. Peter used it one time. But that's interesting. We normally think of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he says here, the gospel of God. Same thing. Amen. Jesus is God, right? It's just the way he worded it there was very interesting. So there, he's talking here about their ministry efforts and proper ministry conduct. Thinking about loving, serving, giving, we get that from Matthew 20:28. Even as we follow this example, even as the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Paul was following that in what he was doing. So the critics could say all they wanted to say, and he's like, no, that's not how it was. You know, our motives were pure, our heart was sincere, we treated you fairly, we treated you kindly, we just gave you the gospel of God. In fact, we gave you our own selves, and he was willing to be persecuted just to go there and do what he did. So let's notice here from these verses how they ministered there. Number one, let's talk about this. He said he was gentle as a nursing mother. Number one, gentle as a nursing mother is what he talks about here. That's what he said in verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. It's the idea of a nursing mother, and the things that he says thereafter apply to that very thing. I never thought of this passage as a family passage or a parenting passage, but you'll see there are parallels here, because later he talks about a father as well. So there are some parenting parallels and lessons right here about how he did ministry that also can be applied to parenting as well. So he says here that he was gentle as a nursing mother, just as moms love and care for their children. Paul said, we loved and cared for you. He said, in that manner. We weren't, somebody said we were harsh. You know that wasn't true. We were nice. We were kind. We were polite. We practiced proper etiquette. We were gentle with this newly formed church. As a mother cared for her newborn infant, he said, I care for this young infant church. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Peter talked about that. Well, he's kind of saying, using that same idea right here. He said, you're a young church, you're an infant church, you're young Christians, and you desire the sincere milk of the word. And he says, that's the way that we ministered unto you. So as a missionary, he's saying he had a pastor's heart in that he loved and cared for that flock there, even though it was a new church, young converts, he cared very much for them. And he used that example of that nursing mother caring for her children. He also went on to say in verse 8 that they were, as moms are affectionately desirous to see their children. So Paul has been removed from them now by persecution, but he's writing the letter back. He says, affectionately desirous. Anybody know as a parent or a grandparent or how affectionately desirous you want to see your family, your child, your grandchild? Or Brother Ron's mother in Florida, you can relate to what Paul was describing. He wasn't there with them, but he was thinking back to that, about affectionately desirous, wanting to see them, just like a mother does for their children, greatly concerned with their welfare, preferring to be with them. That's what he's describing there. So it was that way when he was there, and it was that way as he was writing the letter. Also, he mentioned this, his moms want to see their children saved. What did he say in verse 8? So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you the gospel of God. I think godly Christian mothers, one thing they want is for their children to get saved and come to know the Lord and live for Jesus. Amen? Right? Parents want their children to turn to Christ and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Parents have that on their heart all the time, the salvation and sanctification of their own children. And Paul said, just as a mother, a godly mother wants her child saved, that's the way Paul wanted those people to get saved and turn to Christ and to ask God to help them with their life and guide them through their life. So he's using again that parallel. Also, his moms will give their life for their children. He finished verse 8 there. Not only the gospel of God only, but our own souls, because you were dear unto us. He said, we gave you ourselves. We gave you of our time. We gave you of our talent. We gave you of our tithe and our treasure. We gave ourselves unto you so that we could give the gospel unto you. You think of a missionary that gives up everything to go to a foreign field to meet people they've never known. They give the gospel. They're doing it for the Lord, but they're giving their own selves as well, right? You know, anytime, by the way, if you witness to somebody, sometimes you kind of have to put your own self aside because yourself is saying, don't talk to them, don't say anything. You know, you're going to get embarrassed. They're going to ask you a question you don't know, and you're going to get embarrassed, and somebody's going to pick on you. You know, you got to kind of be vulnerable to be a witness for Jesus today, right? Because they may not agree with you. They may not even like you trying to witness to them, right? They may not appreciate what you're doing there, so he was giving themselves. And then this is interesting. Even as moms don't charge their children. What a bill that would be. I'm glad I didn't get that bill from my mom. Amen, right? Moms don't charge their children for what they do for them, do they? Think about little kids, right? Moms don't charge their children for what they did when they were bringing them up. In verse 9, he says, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. Does that got anything to do with being a mother? Labor and travail. For laboring night and day. Do moms do stuff like that? Because we would not be chargeable unto you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Well, that would be quite a bill if you were charged for that. Now, Paul's talking about there how, and he says more about this later, whenever he was ministering there, he worked his own trade, he paid his own way. He didn't say, hey, church, give me a check. He didn't say, hey, church, support me financially. He didn't do that. He didn't want to be chargeable unto them. He didn't want to be a burden unto them, so he did not charge them. You say, well, what about paying the preacher? Well, Paul taught much on that later. Paul taught all about that later. Paul did receive mission support from certain churches. But this young infant church here, he said no. He worked his own trade as a tent maker. He paid his own way. He didn't want to charge them for his services. He didn't want to burden them any kind of a way. So he's reminded, apparently, by the way, that was part of the criticism. You know how it is. I hear people say that. People go in the ministry just for the money. You know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know, your average pastor doesn't... No, you're thinking about that guy you saw on TV the other day, you know? That's not all preachers. That's not all pastors. That's not all clergy situations, you know, at all. So, but apparently Paul had been, you know, he's just there to get your money. So he's... It's almost a rebuttal. You can learn everything... almost everything he was criticized, you can learn by what he said. I've talked to preachers about this before. I know a preacher right now that's he's going through this thing of, you know, candidating at churches, and a preacher always knows by the questions a pulpit committee ask him what's been going on around there. I can tell by your questions what's already happened here the last few years, you know, because that's what's on their mind. Do y'all follow what I'm saying? They'll ask you certain questions because why? They've been dealing with that stuff, right? They've already dealt with that, and they don't want to deal with that anymore. They want to know where you are, where you stand, what is your thought, what is your practice, what are you going to do about this situation? And what they're saying is, we didn't like how the last guy did it, you know, but we don't want to get there again. So you can tell by his comments what the critics were saying. Yeah, he was just there for your money, and he's going to come back, and he's going to try to get more money and things like that. But Paul's point is, no, as a mother loves her child is how we ministered unto you. We were gentle with you. We were kind to you. We were not chargeable to you. We didn't want to be a burden to you. We only wanted to care for you. And it doesn't matter how many lies they tell or how many things they say, you know the truth. That's what he was trying to get across to them here about this. You know better. And it is a lesson for us to do ministry with proper motives and with the love of God as our basis. You know, people get the idea of God from Christians, and we want to give them a good idea of God. Amen? To glorify God is to make God look good. Well, guess what? God already looks good, but sometimes his children don't look so good. But they get their idea of God from the church. So Paul said, hey, look, I don't care what they're saying. You know that's not how we did this. Paul's saying we did this like the Lord did this. And we even did this like a mother. Did not Jesus use the same thing? He talked about the mother hen and how the mother hen would gather the little chicks there and keep them warm and protect it and care for them. The Lord used that analogy himself. So Paul maybe is carrying off onto that. They're saying just as a mother nursing her infant is how we ministered unto you. And it's a lesson for us of how not to turn the world off. You know, before you can win a soul to Christ, you got to win them to yourself. You realize that? You got to befriend a person. You need to they need to trust you. That they need to know that there's a godly life there. They need to know that God has already done something for you and changed your life before you can minister to them, right? And if you show them kindness, they can get the idea God is kind. If you can show them forgiveness and not just be condemning on them. Now look, I know I already said you got to take a strong position in this world. I get that. But do it with a sweet, kind disposition like the Lord. What was he saying? He said, I showed the love of God, and he used the love of a mother as an illustration for it. So we need to ask God to help us to have the love of God in our hearts. Let me give you number two. He also used an example of a model Christian. The example of a model Christian, number two. He does that in verse 10. He says, you are witnesses, and God also, how holily, justly, and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. He said, we were model Christians. That's what he's saying there. Now, he said, among you that believe. Among you that believe. Well, guess what? He went there, he preached, and not everybody believed. Some did. That's the church. He said, among you we behaved ourselves. Now, does that mean he didn't behave himself with the rest of the crowd? No, that's not what it means. What it means is, the tension and the hostility and the persecution came from those who didn't believe. But he said, you folks know because you gave us a chance. And we got to talk to you. And we got to minister to you. And we got to be with you. So you know. They don't know us. They never gave us a chance. They criticized us. They jumped to conclusions. Isn't that what the world does about the Christians today and churches? They jump to conclusions. They've got preset ideas. And they just go ahead and throw us all in one lump, right? He was saying, no, it wasn't like that. We were a model to you. The church is going to cut against the grain of the world regardless. I mean, we can't help that. We don't agree. That's why the Bible says on marriage, marry another believer. Don't be unequally yoked together because you don't agree. You don't believe the same things. And that's not good for a marriage, right? You need to get along. You need to believe the same things. You need to be one. You need to have unity. So you want to marry another Christian. And for young people, you date. Whoever you date might become a mate. So make sure you date the right kind of person. And then you can marry the right kind of person. The Bible teaches all this stuff. Amen? Right? So we go against the grain of the world. We can't help that. We're to be separate. The Bible says, be ye separate. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be not conformed to this world. Don't follow their fashions. Don't follow their trends. Don't follow their example. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Be a model Christian is what he's saying. Again, you take that strong position, but you do it with a sweet disposition. And they knew it. He said, you are witnesses. And get this. He said, you are witnesses, and so is God. Well, that's pretty strong. He said, look, you guys know. You know it. You're witnesses. He said, as a matter of fact, so is God. Isn't that pretty good if you can say, my conscience is clear because God even knows the truth? Because God does know the truth. You know, we might deceive ourselves sometimes, but he knew that he had behaved himself according to the model of Christ. And he said, God even knows. So he was being a model Christian, and he said he had witnesses. He said, you're witnesses? So is God. He had done the right thing. He said we were holy, we were just, we were fair, we were above reproach. We were not camo Christians. We were clearly Christian. We weren't trying to follow the world. We weren't trying to, he already said, we weren't out to please men. We weren't blending in with the world. We weren't trying to hold hands with God and the world at the same time. No, they were clearly Christian. Not trying to blend in, not camo Christians, No. We were the right thing. We were the real deal. We walked what we talked and what we tried to share with you. Our testimony before the world. Don't you think that's important? Our testimony before the world. Because we say something, it needs to match how we live, right? So he said, you're witnesses, and so was God. You know, you might have critics out there on your job because you're a Christian. They don't like you because of what you believe. They don't like you because maybe you tried to witness to them. Have you ever, I remember somebody, probably could come up with a bunch of these, but something just wasn't right between me and this guy. Well, you know, the only thing I could think of was I think the last time I gave him a gospel tract. So I guess he don't want to talk to me anymore, you know. And that's why sometimes the devil will use that. We don't want to give, you know, we think it's going to create a rift. Well, guess what? It does. We can't help that. We want to be nice. We want to be kind. And we want to try to show the love of Christ. But sometimes they're just not going to accept it. And that's what Paul's talking about right here. He had some of those things going on. But as long as you got a good testimony, guess what? That guy may not like that you witnessed to him. That lady may not appreciate it. But you know what? When they hit on hard times, they come to a crisis, they know who to go to and say, hey, I need somebody to pray for me. They'll come back a lot of times. As a matter of fact, the guy I'm talking about has done some of that. Thank God. And anyway, I won't say any more about that. But don't you hate that when a preacher does stuff like that? Amen. But look, we don't have to cave in to the pressures of this world. We can love them. We can be kind. We can have the right spirit, right attitude. We can show the life of Christ, the model, what the Bible says. It's going to naturally go against it. We know that. Not to be appreciated. But in the end, when it really matters, they know who they can trust. They know who they need to pray for them, right? And you just stay there and be a witness. So Paul says, hey, you and God know that we behaved ourselves correctly. So he said, we were gentle as a mom with you. We were a model Christian with you. Number three, he says, he was like a concerned, caring father. He was a concerned, caring father. He said in verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Now, you notice so far, mama's been really gentle and kind. Amen? Verse 11, now, this sounds like a father, exhorted, comforted, and charged you as well. A charge is a little stronger. Exhortation. That can mean encouragement. It can also mean teaching. Now, I'm glad he put comfort in there as a father. Amen, right? So we want to do all of that. Sounds like a father, right? A father does all of those things. A father is going to charge, and a father is going to command, if you will. A father is going to give direction, and sometimes it's going to be stern and strong, but it's exhortation. That's teaching and encouraging and urging to do the right thing, also comforting when that's necessary. I told you, I never thought of this as a parenting passage, but it's all there, right? Be a model Christian, be gentle as a mother, be like a father as well. As and he's saying that's how he did ministry. That's how he did the ministry. So it sounds like a father, all the things that he did. And what was the challenge? What did he charge them with? Verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And that's a strong challenge. He said, I wanted you to get saved. Thank God you did. And I also want you to walk worthy of it. Well, that's a tall order. A father can give a tall order sometimes, right? A father can give that challenge, if you will. Well, his challenge to them was, as our Father in heaven, by the way, wants us to do, walk worthy. Walk worthy, what does that mean? That means keep the family name clean. Walk worthy of this name, Christian, right? Does a father ever say that? Keep the family name clean, you know? You understand that challenge? So he's given some of that right there. Keep the family name in good standing to glorify God. Make him look good. But at times, again, we don't do that as much as we ought to. As children, you know, we understand that. Jesus said this, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Even as your Father in heaven, Jesus said, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Wow. Well, I can't be perfect like God in heaven. It's really the same idea of walk worthy of your salvation. Don't do anything that people can point a finger at. Live the Christian life the way it ought to be lived, the way the Bible teaches it, right? Amen? So he said, even as your Father in heaven. Well, I know my Father in heaven is perfect. Our Father in heaven is perfect. Amen? Who are we following? His Son, who is perfect. Well, preacher, are you telling me I have sinless perfection? Well, not this side of heaven, but we sure ought to try a whole lot more than we probably do. Amen? You know, sometimes we're like, you know, I just can't do it. I am who I am and just the way it is. And the Bible says, no, I want you to grow to be more like Jesus. That's the challenge, right? So he's given them this ministry conduct. He's defending himself, but he's also reminding them of what he's trying to accomplish there. He said, look, let the critics say what they want to say, but this is what we're trying to get at. Well, you got saved. Thank you. Glad you did. Thank God you got saved. Forget what the critics say. You go on and walk worthy of God. You go ahead and walk the way God would have you to walk. So as a dad might do, he was strong guidance. It was strong direction there, but also strong encouraging. I'm glad the Bible encourages us to live right and do right. By the way, I'm glad God gives us the Holy Spirit to enable us to do what he tells us to do, right? We're not going to be sinless. You know, we're not going to have sinless perfection. Don't get me wrong. We know that. But we ought to sin less than we used to, right? And do the things the way God would have us to do. So proper ministry conduct, I like what he says. We're just looking at what the Bible says. Gentle as a mother, a model Christian, and a concerned father. Let me close with this. Warren Wiersbe said about this passage, no wonder the church in Thessalonica prospered in spite of persecution and shared the gospel with others for miles around. They had been born right and nurtured right. And this is a good example for us to follow in our ministry or in our parenting too. Amen? I think it certainly will be a help. You know, there's a lot of deep meaning in what he said there. There's a lot of deep emotion in the things that he said there. But he's trying to help this young church. He's not trying to scold them, but gentle as a mother, with the admonition of a father, he encouraged them, keep on for Jesus. That's good ministry conduct. That's good parenting as well. And may God help us now to take these things, no matter what critics say, let's follow the Lord and follow the example that Paul and his missions team gave to the Thessalonians right there. Amen? And may God help us with that today. Would you bow your heads with me this morning, please? May God help us this morning as we think of all of these things here today. Dear Father, Lord, I pray you'd help us today. We thank you for your word, Lord, as we get into your word and get into passages perhaps we hadn't spent a lot of time in, Lord. It's just amazing, God, what you teach us and what you exhort us to do. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help all of us here today, Lord, to take note of what the example that Paul gave there. And as we follow you, Lord, we'd follow in the same way. And God, we'd be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, Lord, as we minister to people, Lord. And do it in your name with your love. And God, help us, Lord, if we failed in these ways, God, you'd forgive us and help us, Lord, to do better. God, if there's one here today, Lord, they're not a child, they're not saved, they're not a child of yours. God, I pray you'd speak to that heart, Lord, and they'd get it settled here this morning. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand this morning. A little music plays, heads are bowed. You might want to come this morning and ask God to help you some way this morning. Some are coming this morning. How about you? Ask God's help, guidance, direction. As the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, that's what Paul was saying God had done for him, to help him love them and guide them and direct them. He said, as a parent does with their child. And as God does with us.
Amen. Amen. You can look this way. Thank you for being here. I hope God will use His Word to help us today. Amen. I get something out of it studying it, and I hope you get something out of it when we convey it here in the church. And I hope it'll help you today some way, somehow. Do remember all things VBS, hey, the coin offerings and the work going on Saturday to get all that set up, and this week the work going on Thursday evening.